peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hey, 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 welcome to episode number 65 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. What a show. We've kind of missed the last couple episodes, so we're jam-packing everything in today, and it's a big one. We've got on the show coming up an exclusive look at the RNC here in Cleveland, and more specifically, just down the road from this little basement studio. We are in the North Canton Green area. Cleveland is just about an hour up the road, but it's also where I work and covering the RNC, doing special segments and pieces. And I've got one in particular that I think you'd like. It's about the issue of Donald Trump and some of the problematic points of his character. And as a Christian, this drama of conscience that has been widespread. And I think with both candidates, whether you normally are a Democrat or a Republican, there's not a whole lot of through the roof enthusiasm about who we have, just to be honest. And that's documented in a new Pew Research poll. And especially for the Christian, it can be a bit of a challenge this year in particular. Father Nathan Cromley has talked about that a little bit, how it's almost a sacred act for the Christian when we vote. Sometimes, though, it just needs to be more of a practical decision. So there's a segment I put together interviewing former RNC chairman Michael Steele. What, first of all, a beautiful man, a devout Catholic, an African-American father, husband, and one that has a lot of insightful things to say about this particular election, about Donald Trump and that phenomenon. And also the vice president, the running mate choice of Mike Pence. So he'll talk about that. Father Nathan Cromley is also featured in the piece. So I am excited. I've worked on this particular segment for about a week. It's going to air all during the RNC and looking forward to sharing it with you too. Also on the show, listener feedback. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your awesome words. And we're going to share your input, a movie review, a summer reading selection, and more coming up on the show. And before we jump into prayer, I just want to take a minute to thank you. In the top of the show, just kind of alluded to the fact that it's been tough to go every week with a show, as I have been feeling really good and like hitting my stride and make sure they're out every Sunday and Monday. But because of the summer, because of my new job, working so much and really finding no alone time, it's been tough. So I'm glad it's the year of mercy. So thank you for your patience. And also want to share that within the next month, there may be more times where a week might go by and there's not an episode, but there will be the next one. And I'm hoping that my mom summer schedule is matching up with your summer schedule as well. And maybe you're just not listening as much either. So it's okay. But I want to especially thank the Podbean patrons, the good friends of Good Things Radio. It is because of you saying, I believe in the show. Thank you for doing what you're doing, that I am here and that I'm doing this for you. So thank you for the encouragement to press on, to keep going when I want to just take a nap. God bless you for your support. And as we jump in, let's join together in prayer. This particular prayer is about the crisis of our world, the countless wounded hearts that have been touched by a lot of darkness right now, and we need the light. So as we draw closer to the source of light, let's begin with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I shall walk through dark valleys, but I fear no harm, Lord, for you are at my side. Your rod and your staff shall give me courage, and no evil shall befall me, no weakness in my stride. Lord, you said, do not let your heart be troubled. Have faith in God and also in me. Lord, give us faith. Increase our faith, so that we may decrease. Help us not to be filled with fear and frustration and anger, but the promise of everlasting life, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and the grace that you give all your believers. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I share that because you don't have to be working in news to see the headlines and all that's been going on this summer. This whole year, 2016, has really been unprecedented in terms of violence and so much bleak news in the headlines. And of all the days that I would record the podcast, this one was a tough one. I worked today when the news broke about shootings in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, policemen killed. And When you're in the newsroom like that, it's so important that you absorb every detail, but make sure it's accurate. There's a responsibility to be factual and to be fast. With social media, it is such an explosion of information, and you want to make sure that what you have is solid. And so all morning, being the only one in the newsroom, that was the focus. And it's hard to not carry it home with you. And I have such a newfound respect, and I've done news for a lot of years in different formats, but this is a little bit different, and I think our times are different. To just be able to go home and not carry it with me is almost impossible, not to mention everything that's going on in the city where I live and the big security debate and all of the protests and everything that's happened in Cleveland, as well as around the world. And I just think it's another reminder that we need good leaders. We need dads and priests and prayers and people who shine a light on love and unity. And there are some really great voices breaking through, but we've also got a really big election coming up. So that's what I want to start the show with today and jump right in with this Republican National Convention in the spotlight. And again, top of mind for me, since that's what I've been working. But the piece I put together, as I shared in the top of the show, is all about this drama of conscience that Father Nathan aptly named it. And I was just talking to my neighbor yesterday about this election. Thankfully, it's funny when you don't really know where people stand politically, so you kind of do a little dance and you get a feel, and then you're like, oh, you know, you can kind of tell where they're going. And I learned pretty quickly on that we are in lockstep. We're not the same faith tradition, but we have the same belief system in terms of politics and social issues and things like that. So we had a great conversation, and her thought was, it's a no-win situation. Whomever I vote for, and if I don't vote, it's not going to really turn out well, and I'm not going to be happy. And so I shared a little bit about this piece. We had a great discussion, and that's what I hope this does for you as well. Whether it's just interiorly, maybe some new perspectives that come to the surface, or if it prompts a conversation. And I wasn't sure if I should play it because it might be self-serving, it might be boring, but I think it merits conversation. We have a country where 77% of our nation still identifies with the Christian faith, yet we're all over the board in the way that we practice and live it out and what we vote for and how that translates to our values. So I wanted to bring that to the surface, and that's what we're going to do. So take a listen and check it out. Please weigh in too. Here it is, though. It's a 5-minute piece about Donald Trump and the Christian voters. Take a listen.
The phenomenon of Donald Trump and the 2016 election has not only baffled the media and boggled political analysts, but has also posed a challenge for the Christian voter. In a Gallup poll, 77% of Americans identify as Christian. The United States remains a largely Christian nation, but the choice for faith-based voters, even on the religious right, has not been an easy one. Hobby Lobby founder David Green said, as a Christian, not only will he not vote for Trump, but is urging other Christian leaders to do the same.
Under no circumstance could I vote for someone that I feel like can do much, much damage to this country. I apologize, and I don't have to apologize, and I shouldn't, but I pray for those religious leaders that are blinded to the fact of an individual that they're supporting that is totally without decency in terms of the way that he gets ahead in life. We need to ask ourselves, is this the way our children want to get ahead? I don't believe I could vote.
Former RNC Chairman Michael Steele admits Trump is not the traditional Christian Republican candidate.
What Trump has done is appeal to baser instincts that touch on the concerns that people have about their jobs, their communities, their families, in a much broader sense as opposed to a narrower sense where a pro-life agenda would be first and foremost in the minds of certain value voters. And so being able to speak to that in an authentic way, yes, with a lot of drama, a lot of hyperbole, and offensive language at times, has really turned the corner in terms of how we are looking at this political cycle.
Father Nathan Cromley, a Catholic priest, calls it a drama of conscience for the Christian voter.
It's a drama because for most American value-based voters, voting is something that's almost sacred. It's something wherein I endorse with my character the character of another. Well, what do you do when you have to endorse a character, but you don't want to endorse either character? That's the drama. The conscience says, can I, as the human being that I am, give my support to this candidate? And for a lot of value-based voters, it's a very difficult thing to do.
And for Christian conservatives, those issues include abortion, traditional family, and religious liberty. Michael Steele says that's why, even if values-based voters question Donald Trump's character, they can trust his word that he will elect Supreme Court justices that are in line with those issues.
I've known Donald Trump for a while and have worked with him in the past, and he has been, in every instance I know, I've known him to be a man who keeps his word on things like that. I mean, you touched on the Supreme Court, and things like that will really matter to a lot of families out there, not just those who are conservatives or Republicans, but there are a lot of folks who look at the life issue less through a political lens and more through the moral and values lens that it should be looked at. And I think he will honor that.
Yet the issue of Trump's flawed character remains problematic for many religious voters. In an op-ed piece, Fox News host Todd Starnes wrote, many are still not convinced that the man who has had more wives than there are letters to the Corinthians shares their view from the pew. It's not just the Never Trump crowd that's causing the campaign to worry. It's the unknown number of evangelicals who may stay home on Election Day. But the Trump campaign could receive a boost after his selection of Indiana Governor Mike Pence for vice president. Michael Steele talks about the impact the VP choice could have on the religious right.
Well, in the words of Bernie Sanders, huge impact, because I think it will say something about what Donald Trump ultimately is valuing on a number of fronts to send the signal that your voice, your values will be represented well inside my administration.
And according to Steele, Mike Pence represents the Christian vote.
He's church. He is church first. You know where he stands right out of the gate. He is about his faith before he's about his politics.
Otto von Bismarck once said, politics is the art of the possible, the attainable, the art of the next best. That's another way of suggesting there's simply no such thing as perfection in politics. But in a world never before more divided, Father Nathan Cromley says the Christian voter should focus on what unites us.
When we as a country find values, we don't find what divides us. We find what unites us. And so here I think the voice of the Christian values-based voter has a wonderful opportunity to play a prophetic role of unity for our otherwise divided country. Because what we hold dear are values that have the capacity to give life, to give future, to bring peace to this otherwise troubled world.
In the newsroom, Brooke Taylor, WTAM 1100.
Okay, so there it is. What do you think? Is that something that you agree with? Did it change your mind? Did it make you dig your heels in a little bit more? I don't want you to hold back. Please share your feedback on that, because I just want to gauge. I think it's nice if we have a dialogue based on respect that comes to the surface from a piece like that. So let me know what you think. I want to know. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach out. Also on Voxer, it's the way I love to receive feedback, to be able to correspond. It's so quick. It's just an app you download, leave a message, then I can play it on the show. And it's Brooke Taylor and the number one to find my profile.
Well, the mail must go through, the mail must go through, no matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said,
and speaking of feedback, thank you for your awesome emails from the last episode. So we talked about wrinkles and aging, and you'll have to go back and check it out because it was quite a in-depth conversation about everything from thinning hair to cellulite and angry 11s, those frown wrinkles that appear that look like two lines above your nose. But what I loved about it was the aftermath in relating to so many of you who reached out and said, I get it. I've been there. I've done that. And to have, you know, that scripture, iron sharpens iron, to have godly girlfriends to go over these issues and look at it through a spiritual lens. Tracy did. Check out her feedback.
Good morning, it's Tracy. I just got done listening to your podcast, the most recent one, and I just have to commend you for bringing up the topic of wrinkles and physical beauty. That is actually something that I struggle with all the time when I look in the mirror. And I always am telling Mike, I've waffled on getting Botox done around my eyes because it just bothers me, the wrinkles around my eyes, it bothers me so much. And Mike is very against me doing that and kind of like Father Nathan talks about, believes that God made me this way and I'm not to, you know, mess with any of his plans. But then it's something internally that I struggle with. And I feel like every time I start struggling with it because of the trigger points, kind of like you mentioned, a picture's taken that I don't like or something like that. What always happens to me is that somebody, I will encounter someone new in my life, a stranger or whatever, and they will always say to me, you don't look old enough to have four children, or you don't look old enough to have three children if we hadn't had Mia yet. And I just find that is like God speaking to me through them, trying to tell me, no, don't mess with your body in that way. But like you, I also get frustrated with myself for having those internal struggles. Like, why do I care so much? And I greatly admire nuns because I feel like they have learned to just like kind of like you mentioned with Mother Teresa, detach themselves from their physical appearance. And I don't know if that's just easier because they live a life sometimes that's not out in the public like that. So they're not exposed to it as much. But it's just something I greatly admire about nuns. So anyways, I just really enjoyed the podcast. I wanted to tell you that. I also, if you ever need a topic for future talk, I would love to hear your thoughts on, because you also have children that are younger like me, praying for their future spouses. So the Moreheads and I were talking about this recently, but I like routinely every day pray for my children's future spouses, whether that's Jesus, if they choose a consecrated life, or if that is an actual person that's out there. And I also tend to pray for my future children's spouses, their parents as well, and hoping that they're raising them in a manner that is, you know, going to be good for my children in the future, according to the Catholic faith. It's just, so I would love to hear your thoughts on that, either on the podcast or just in general. So I hope you're having a great week. I hope summer's going well. So anyways, have a great day.
I was shocked when I received that. I know Tracy, and I don't see one wrinkle on her face. But again, it's all relative in the way that we see ourselves. So thank you for taking the time to email. And I've been there, and so I totally know Tracy, but you're beautiful. And the same thing with Dr. Ann. She emailed. She said, "Hi, Brooke. Your last episode really hit close to home. I'm always taken by surprise by how I appear in pictures. To make you feel better, I've attached two photos taken within 5 minutes of each other. The first one is how I think I look all the time. And she's with her husband. Beautiful glowing smile. The second one, she said, taken at the very end, trying to get all the kids to smile and look, is my annoyed face." I can relate to that. "Check out those angry 11s. This is how I probably look most of the time. It's my new motivation to keep smiling as much as possible." And she said, "Also, I'm glad you touched on profanity in the workplace. One would think that professional doctors are above it, but we're not. Cussing does not bother me as much as when my partners take the Lord's name in vain. When they do, I usually speak up. A few years ago, I set ground rules with one of my partners who enjoys inappropriate humor. One, no raunchy jokes before noon." I like that. Okay. She said, "I'm not a morning person anyway, and I just don't handle offensive things very patiently early in the day." That is really funny, Anne. Well, good for you. And you know, that probably is brilliant, because if they are likely to withhold earlier than the day, by then maybe the end of the day, they would just be used to that and not say anything. She said, "This set some boundaries early that I've been able to expand. Two, no jokes about religion ever. Fortunately, he has respected that one. It led to some pretty good discussions, too, over the years. He is a fallen away Catholic turned atheistic secular humanist, yet he always is respectful of my beliefs, and I often pray for his reversion." Wow, that is awesome. That's a story and topic in and of itself, but great feedback. Thank you, Anne. Mary in New York, sweet, sweet Mary from NYC. She says, "Brooke, I was so interested to hear you speak about the topic of foul language. I will definitely put that into practice in terms of what Father Nathan said, as this is a particular repeating sin of mine, much to my 10-year-old daughter's dismay." And I hope this doesn't sound offensive, but being from New York, I'm not surprised. And I don't even know what I mean by that, except I kind of think of the up yours, you know, the New Yorker. And that's not even really swearing, but just kind of like the rough language is part of the culture. So I could see that. Not that you're rough at all, Mary. That's not at all. But she said, "I think I will tell my daughter to help me say a Jesus help me after an outburst, because I know, and she's told me, that she does not like hearing foul language from me in times of stress." Well, that is beautiful, Mary. And you know, to be open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, where you acknowledge and observe a behavior and you say, okay, I'm open to to changing or making it holy, that speaks so much of your spirit and your faith journey, the spiritual ascent to holiness. That's what it's all about. So awesome feedback there too. Thank you so much, Mary. And remember, it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com or Voxer if you want to check in. But thank you so much, girls, for your input. And one quick media minute, I guess we could call it. That's a good movie for you and a book summer selection. First is Miracles from Heaven. This we saw and loved as a family. It's based on a true story. I highly recommend it with a box of tissues and maybe a pint of ice cream. But it's so good. And it's a true story. Like I said, Jennifer Garner in it, a great renter now out on DVD. That's the movie pick. The book pick is called Hanging Off Jefferson's Nose, Growing Up on Mount Rushmore. Great true story. Another motivational one. Lincoln Borglum was a young boy. His father, the great sculptor Gutzon Borglum, suggested to a group of South Dakota businessmen that he should carve the faces of our four presidents into a side of a mountain to attract tourists. Now, of course, the story begins there, but it's never that easy. So it talks a little bit about Gutzon Borglum's challenges, his brilliance, and also the legacy that he passed on to his son to complete the project. You know, we see these landmarks or we inherit these great gifts and not really knowing the extraordinary price behind it. And so I love this book because you'll never look at Mount Rushmore the same again. It is a children's book, but again, one of those that is ageless. So it is by Tina Nichols Curry, Hanging Off Jefferson's Nose, Growing Up on Mount Rushmore. You can get it used from a penny score on Amazon.com. And finally, as we wrap up the program today, a takeaway to reflect and prepare for Sunday's reading, Mass reading on July 24th, is the Gospel reading focusing on the Lord's Prayer. And we could devote easily an entire episode on this. But I was thinking about the power of this prayer and how many lips have uttered these words over the years. It was said by Todd Beamer. It was widely reported in a group of men that rushed the hijack plane on 9/11. It's been said in dark and cells and concentration camps, battlefields during the Middle Ages, every mass around the world, although it was always in Latin, known as the Pater Noster. Again, in the ritual of baptism, it was said, our Father from the earliest times was a feature in the divine office. The list goes on. And of course, originally uttered from the mouth of Christ himself as a lesson to his disciples on how to pray. And we say it so often, we say it in mass every week, but how much do we really passionately proclaim the words? And I love that the liturgy follows this cadence because it allows us to enter into a deeper understanding of what those words are and study it. So that's the challenge for this week. You know, it can become rote for us. We say it a lot, but it doesn't need to be that way. And leading up to the Sunday, it's a good time, I think, to rediscover its beauty. So I want to especially thank listener Christina, who said she found a version of the Syrian Aramaic language of Christ, Pater Noster, the Our Father, although it's not called that in Syrian Aramaic. But I wasn't sure if I should play it because I thought this is summer, it's light, it's fun, it's nothing heavy, and it might not be compelling for some, but you know, I think we're in a time where we should enter into this beautiful prayer, and it's something about hearing it in the language of Christ himself that I think is really powerful. So, and it's short. If you don't mind me sharing, I wanted to offer that to you as we wrap up the show today. It is the Our Father in Syrian Aramaic. Take a listen.
Shemit Baba, Brana, Rohav, Kotshaha, Allaha, Amin. Aun Dushmayan of Kaddash, Shmach, Tethemal Kuthach, Nehwe Sohyanach, Aikena Dushmaya, Apara. Haulan Lahmasum Khaned Yomana, Hushuklan, Haubain, Wahtahain, Aikena the Apahnan, Shwakan, Hayaway, La Talan, Nisiona. الا قصان ديشا مطل دي لا خي ملكوثا حيلا وعشنا وغبار وفرشلطانة بشمية ورعا شمد بابا ورنا وروح أثبت شالعالم عالمين آمين.
Okay, and with that, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you for being a part of the program. Just a reminder, a little invitation to be a part of the Good Friends, Good Things Radio Podbean Patron Program. You can donate. It's like a tip jar program, anywhere from $5 a month to $25 a month. It doesn't matter. You can donate by the episode, by the month. Any amount is appreciated. And if you think this podcast has merit, you want us to keep it going, it's a great way just to say, keep doing what you're doing. and stop skipping weeks, which I promise I'm going to try. God bless you to all of our Podbean patrons. You are in our daily prayers. Also, if you'd be so kind, we humbly ask to leave a review on iTunes. That is free, and it just takes a minute, and it helps others find the show as well and tells Apple, hey, there's a little program out there worth people hearing and finding out about. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out, share your input about the show, and Voxer, Brooke Taylor, and the number one is how you can reach out. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills, his quick work, his amazing mind. Mark is producer extraordinaire. He wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you. God keep you in the valley and on the mountaintop as we continue to pursue the summit. Until next time, friends, God bless you.